Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Ring, 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 ring. Banana phone. You don't know this song?
I don't know this song. Da, 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 da. I don't listen to this is what's popular now. I don't listen to the popular music.
Da, this is a song written by Raffi. This is a child song.
Oh, I would have gone with Down by the Bay with a Watermelon Girl. You know that one.
Yes, please don't.
You brush your teeth.
This goes on a loop in my house.
You brush your teeth.
Oh, no. This sounds
awful. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, but no kids.
Oh, gosh. Hey, Raffi. How's it going, everybody? You are watching / listening The Command Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai, and today we are here with a very special guest. He's actually in studio.
Oh, cool. Who is it?
He's going to be here in like an hour.
Wow, yeah, you said he was someone really cool, so I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah. Well, we don't usually let Prof meet our cool friends, but this time around, we're going to let you meet him.
Yeah, we have the professor from Tulare Community College, if you're, you know, listening to the audio-only version of this podcast.
Well, I would think they recognize my voice by now.
You do have a very recognizable voice. It's true. In fact, I bet I could be in a room like a mile away and still be like, oh, that's Prof.
I could probably enunciate to a level where you would hear me a mile away.
That's what I was going to say. You would hear him from a mile away. That's
for sure. That's true. Anyway, before we dive into the show, it's going to be a fun one. We're going to be talking politics with the professor, and I have the subtitle for this. What does it mean to play you? Because that's the question of the day. The you emphasis is there because I was pointing at Prof if you couldn't see it. Our show is brought to you by CardKingdom.com. Make sure you use our affiliate link, CardKingdom.com/CommandZone. And actually, you're going to have a new Game Nights episode by the time this episode releases, and there's going to be some spicy brews on there. 4 new decks. Maybe you want to buy some cards. CardKingdom.com/CommandZone is the way to get to our affiliate link and buy those cards.
Yeah, I don't know if that episode's going to be out quite yet when you're watching this, but it'll be out soon.
But that's correct, Jimmy. There's still going to be 4 spicy decks in there, right?
Yes, the spicy decks part's correct. You're just making me nervous like you're pushing up the game night's deadline.
Oh, yeah. It's releasing now, right?
Thanks a lot.
I just hit publish.
Well, the other sponsor that helps us create game nights and this podcast is UltraPro. UltraPro, now well known for their Eclipse sleeves, their playmats. They got all the cool Ixalan-themed deck boxes, playmats, things like that. So if you want to support the show, also purchasing UltraPro products really helps us. And the final way to support the Command Zone and Game Nights is directly through patreon.com/CommandZone. In fact, we call out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to
Peter Milford.
Peter. You rock.
You rock. Prof, does he rock?
I think he is probably a patron of mine as well, and so because of that, he definitely rocks.
Thanks, Pete.
Not to say that anyone who is not a patron of mine doesn't rock. Many of you rock.
I would guess there's quite a bit of crossover between our patrons
there
and
is.
Our patrons.
For sure. Well, you know, the really fun thing about that Card Kingdom affiliate link is you can use any of the Card Kingdom affiliates, like, I don't know, like Tulare Community College, anybody. You don't have, I mean,
that's
it's
a lot
such
of,
a great
That's a lot
thing.
Of typing.
That's true. We're all on Team Card Kingdom here.
Right, right.
That
yeah.
just proves how
use
great it is.
Any of the Card Kingdom
Just make sure you use
purchases.
Ours. No, just kidding. No, seriously, though, yeah. By supporting the rising tide floats all boats in the harbor.
Yes.
On the planet. The round planet that we live on. All right.
The plane.
Because
it's an island.
Oh, my gosh. I always mess that up. All right. Today, we are talking politics with the professor, and the subtitle again, what does it mean to play against you? I think it's a really fun thought experiment, too, and this is always fun to do, which is revisit how we've changed over the years, who we've become as players. Where did we start at? Where did we come to now? Because, obviously, 3 years is a long time to do the podcast, and I'm a very different person since we started, right, Josh? How about you?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely because we are sort of forced to talk and think about the game for a certain amount every single week. So we've changed and evolved in that way. I also think it's always good to be self-reflexive, sort of consider yourself what type of player you are, what your tendencies are, mm-hmm. because it can help you change things that you need to change as far as weaknesses in your game, but also see how other players see you, and maybe you can sort of play with that and use it to your strategic advantage.
Ooh.
Well, that's the really unique thing about Commander as opposed to any other format, is that you do have to interact with so many other people, and in a recurring fashion. If you go down to Friday Night Magic or just a tournament at your local game store for Standard or Modern, you sit down across from someone, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, and in 15 minutes, 30 minutes, you're done, and you go on your merry way. But with Commander, you typically have a play group or maybe people that you see repeatedly, and so you do have to be aware of not just yourself, but others.
Yeah. Very true. So today we're going to talk about how do we Magic the Gathering? Who am I as a player in Magic the Gathering? And also very specifically, how do you politic? Because we played against you a couple of times, Prof, and it is always a ton of fun, but because it throws me off guard, because I'm so used to a very specific meta, and playing against you is like, it's like the curveball that comes in that you don't expect.
I'm squeaky clean, Jimmy. I'm squeaky
and
clean.
And it starts here.
And you're all politicking right now.
Yeah. It's also a fun question to ask yourself, like Josh said, being self-reflexive. What does it mean to sit down and play Magic the Gathering against you? And it's
by you meaning you, the listener.
You, the listener, yeah. And it's very different for multiplayer as it is for 1v1. I don't expect someone to be bubbly and friendly and happy every time I play them in like a competitive format, but Commander, inherently not competitive because it's multiplayer.
Well, it can be disadvantageous to be super abrasive too. True. Because I've seen tables be like, let's just get that guy out of this game. Yeah. So, you know, you can use it to your advantage again.
Well, there's plenty of competitive Commander players, but
for sure.
Typically,
yeah.
you designate this as a competitive Commander playgroup. You don't just have your competitive Commander win on turn 3 deck and then someone's got their pre-con and then, hey, come on, join me. Bam!
Yeah.
You know, there you go. Mop the floor with you.
All right. We're going to do some roundtable questions and discussions. So we're going to start with you, Professor. What matters to you when you build a Commander deck, when you're playing a Commander deck, and why? So, for instance, just to give the listeners a heads up, like power level, or do you like interactivity or flavor, or are you more about being unique, or, you know, the Johnny Timmy?
Yeah, like what aspects do you place a high premium on or are important to you when you're building?
I like all the power levels, actually. I have plenty of really low power level Commander decks that I've made for my friends who play low power level, and I have moderate power level ones. I think, what is it, the 70, 30, 80, 20 rule sort of, mm-hmm. you know, range. I like that a lot. I do have at least one to two, what you might consider to be competitive ones, because I do want to sit down with friends that I know that play competitive Commander, and I enjoy all the power levels, but for me, at every level, there's some element of flavor to the Commander itself and how the rest of the deck follows it.
Mm-hmm.
Not in such a way that sacrifices power or gameplay, but I have to have some kind of attraction to the Commander where they spark some sort of, you know, interest in my imagination and mind.
Yeah.
And I reflect this like in my Commander decks, the basic lands, I always want to be from the same plane as the Commander. So if I've got my Taysa deck, I have the Ravnica lands. If I've got my Sig deck, I've got the Lorwyn lands. I don't just go like, oh, I love the Beta Island, the original Alpha Beta Island, so I'll put that in my Sig deck. No, Sig's from Lorwyn. He has the Lorwyn islands and planes.
Nice. 100%. I like that. So that's very important to you when you're building the deck. Do you do like the versions of the cards maybe in there? Does that, you know, do you try and keep those?
From, like, first, like, 10th editions.
Well, I always there's rare exceptions to this for me, but 99% of the time I like the oldest edition of a card,
right?
The blackest border.
Big surprise.
I do have a few times where maybe, you know, sometimes something weird, like there's this 7th edition artwork that only appeared once and it's really cool, and maybe Peter Ventner's did it, and it's like, wow, I didn't know there was a
this
duress.
Is, by the way, just Josh and I are like, uh-huh.
Yeah. What? You guys don't pay attention to that?
Give me a little bit.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, I love it. I love it. And like, so like, maybe for my vampire deck, I'll have the Pete Venter's duress, which is really cool. And he does a lot of the vampire art in the old days. But I do tend to favor older art, original printings of cards. Sometimes not, but usually yes.
So I would say uniqueness definitely matters to you, but also flavor a lot in a lot of different ways. And power level, it's cool because that's definitely a scale for everyone. But I think interactivity is the big one.
Let me ask you, though. Let's say we were going to play Commander and you were going to choose the power level that we were going to play. What would be your preference?
Out of like 10
or
something?
Yeah, prof.
For me, I would say if I was going to choose the power level, maybe 7 to 8.
Yeah, that's like the nice wheelhouse where you find the most fun.
Yeah.
Not that you won't play the other ones, but
no,
just...
No, I like them all. Yeah. I, for me, as long as everyone's on the same page, it's fun. I will have a blast sitting down with four low-powered Commander decks. I will have a blast sitting down with four highly competitive Commander decks, but it's not fun when someone's got the pre-con, someone's got their little, like, oh, I made a Ravnica-themed Commander deck, isn't that fun? And then someone's got their turn 2 combo off competitive deck, and that's not fun. So as long as everything's balanced, I have a blast.
Yeah, which is always good. Again, we talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
Communicate before you before you like shuffle up, be like, all right, what's everyone at?
How about you, Jimmy?
Actually, I thought I was going to do something fun here.
Oh,
this
okay.
Maybe right. For all the questions, maybe this one. I'm just going to answer for you and
you
answer
for
me.
Okay.
I think, Josh, power level is definitely very important, but specifically in like It's funny because I would just call it JLK ways. At this point, like, you become your own adjective. So it needs to have some kind of interesting, like, very interesting stint that I feel like no one's ever done before or is very rarely done, but is usually pulled off in a way that makes you go, that was extremely powerful. You I think you abide to the, if I can cast four spells in a turn, I win the game more than anyone else.
Definitely, yeah. I would 100% agree. My big thing actually is not usually to win. I just want to go off.
Yeah.
But I can often go off and not win.
True. It's happened. Actually, I've seen that happen probably more times
yeah,
than you
yeah.
want.
Which is fine. And I'm totally happy because that's actually the perfect game for me where I go off. I don't win, but I'm like, see, I did cool stuff.
Yeah.
And somebody else wins. And they're like, see, I won. And I'm like, you're happy. I'm happy. Everybody's happy. It's great.
Well, there's two people in that equation.
Yeah.
That
yeah. Well, happy. I can't make, you know. Jimmy, your power level, I'd say a little bit higher. The wheelhouse where you're happy. I'd say 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
But not 10.
No.
I think that's not as fun for you. You're not
as my brain to figure out how to
Yeah, you're not as much of a combo player. I think you want to do like big splashy things, but like something that costs, you know, 10 mana
yep.
will make you happy. Like if I play a 10 mana thing and it gets you, that's sort of a Jimmy effect.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah. All 10 mana.
I sneak attack out something ginormous and smack you with it. That's true. Sort of when Jimmy's at his happiest.
Sneak attack I think the best description of my playstyle in Magic.
Yeah, and but not combo sneak attack, although you will. Like, you'll combo off, but I think, yeah, that it's more like sneak attack out three things that are just really big and just boom.
I found that if I am comboing out, it's usually with the assistance of the table. Because I'm like, I think something's happening. And everyone's like, yeah, what if you did this? I'm like, yes, please, tell me more. Food chain, how does that work?
But you're not as high on the interactivity with the opponents. You're more, I'm a very highly interactive opponent. Mm-hmm. Are you an interactive player? A player that, like, I worry when I build my decks all the time. How am I going to stop what other people are doing? Right. But I feel like, Jimmy, you're more like, what cool things am I going
to
do?
Yeah, exactly. I'm happy to let everyone. That's a very Craig thing I learned from him, which is, let's say just everyone do their thing.
How about you? You think you're an interactive?
I had a weird tendency to build combo decks, but hate playing them.
Yeah.
And that was my MO for a long time. And I was actually getting the least commander of my commander lifespan in during this period where I had so many commander decks. And it dawned on me, I'm not playing very much of them, and that's because they were all these combo-based decks, and I don't like playing combo.
They don't make you feel good, so you don't grab them.
But I loved engineering and designing it and going on and just doing the whole thing. It was so fun, but then I'd play it, I'd be like, okay, you know, I just like building the machine, but I never liked piloting it, and so I've come around to what I like more than anything are multiple win conditions. I like a deck that can try and do an aggro win, but switch into a Voltron commander like that, that maybe has a combo in it that I can fall back on, or that maybe if I've got it in my opening hand, all right, go for this combo, and then, they got the skull clamp, so looks like we're just going to smash face. And so now that's kind of what I do, especially with those 70, 80 level decks, is to say, I want different ways to win, so when they try and shut down my graveyard, I can do something else. And that's the big thing for me now. That's what I evolved into.
It's interesting because it sounds like there's like you're almost two play. You're a deck builder and a player, and those two aren't necessarily in cahoots.
It's
pretty interesting. That's funny thing to realize about yourself, though, and I think probably really helpful because you can sort of clamp down a little bit of those tendencies in deck building to make sure you do have fun when you're playing.
All right, next, we're going to talk about what matters to you when you play Commander as a player, and I want to know a very honest answer to this, and Josh kind of answered a little bit with his last response, but how much does winning actually matter to you? Being number one in a game of four, let's say you played 100 games, how many of those would you ideally think you would like to win to be a happy, to
100 games with four players?
Yeah, 100 games with four players, to be happy on the inside, and let's all come up with the number at the same time.
Let's say it one at a time, though, because it'll get confusing.
All right, I got it. I'm 50%.
You want to win half the games?
Why not?
Wow.
Zero.
Zero?
Zero.
I always play to win, and I'm going to play to win when we do our I play to win.
Spoiler alert.
But I don't care.
If you couldn't figure it out.
We've had
a consistent trend here.
It's okay. I thought this was coming out after.
They don't know who the other guest is. You'll know if you follow us on Twitter. You'll know everything. Yeah. Anyway.
I didn't realize this was coming out.
It's fine. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Okay.
Zero, though? You don't.
I don't care.
If you win 90 games in a row.
I play to win. I play to win. And to me, that's the important part. Like, I right. really hate when people say, like, oh, well, it's Commander, so you don't have to try. I really get into it where it's very serious for me to play that game to win and to not be joking around with, like, oh, I'm just going to do this, ha-ha. But, you know.
Who plays Commander?
I've had some opponents. I've had a few people like that, trick. And that's what they like. But I really do play to win. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if I don't win, it doesn't. As long as I gave it my all.
Gotcha.
And, but you wouldn't start to get frustrated around the 70th game in a row. You haven't won 80th game in a row. I don't know.
I mean, if it was like 80 games,
is it really zero, or is it just not very many?
I guess technically you're playing the whole, what would you do for $1 million? What about $990,000?
I will take your word at it.
You'd still eat the
I like
toe.
The spirit
you'd still
of the
eat
zero.
The severed toe for $990,000 then, huh?
Because I think one is a lot different than zero.
One sounds
zero
sad.
Means I don't.
One sounds sad. There's some pride
in zero that's like zero. I'm making a message.
Zero because I don't need it. I don't need it at the end. It's wiped, and I don't sit, like, the way I see it is because I know players, both of Commander and just Magic, who mm-hmm. after the game, if they have lost, or if they've lost a lot, it affects them. Right. And I just don't feel it affects me. Maybe because I don't actually go zero, but it's not something that's a part of what I recognize in myself, of my psyche. And maybe if that started happening, I would start to go off to the corner. But for me, it's only during the game. If during the game something is interfering with my ability to play my best, that's when I get upset.
I see.
But not at the end. You Josh went off and it's like, all right, but I gave it my all.
And then he lost still.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 0 out of 100.
Jimmy won again.
I feel like part of it too is that you didn't come from a gaming background specifically. I think you did game your whole life, but you're a professor.
Yeah, not like, yeah.
And so I think the idea of winning has a very different feeling to people that have gamed their entire life.
I grew up a loser, and so I'm very comfortable losing. I grew up always losing.
Okay, Jimmy.
Everything.
Okay.
What's my number?
I think your number is like 33.
Yeah, I was going to say like 25.
25?
Yeah. I would like to win my percentage.
I see.
But I don't need to win more than that. And funny that you should mention some things that I'm like, well, I do that. Like, we had a game the other day where I had an Enlightened Tutor in my hand, and it was a fun game. And I, Enlightened Tutor, went and looked through my deck, and there was a lot of good targets for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't gotten a Mind's Dilation to really.
Right.
Play with before. And this is a couple months ago, probably. And I'm like, I haven't really had this in play before. And I was like, I just want to put that into play. And I'll just be like, I don't know, but I want to see that card in action and really get a feel for how good that is. And
by the way, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, I thought it would be. But at the same time, like, I could have gotten a better card for that situation, probably. Something a little bit that would more directly help me win that game. And yet, I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to put this out there and see what happens. Because otherwise, you know, at what point am I ever going to really get to tell? Mm-hmm. So I sort of consider games a little bit more from the sort of, oh, it's all sort of R&D. It's all a little bit of research. It's all a little bit of trying to figure things out. There's very rarely a game where, like, this game, I really want to win it.
Right. I think my percentage just comes from my enjoyment of winning. I like winning.
You definitely, and when you don't win, and you...
Here we go.
It's not that you're salty, but you're salty, like, very quickly, and then it's over.
Yeah.
It's the most Jimmy thing ever, which is, like, you're such a nice guy that it almost, like, you start getting mad at yourself for getting mad about it, and then you're nice again. But I think the big thing is you keep track of it a little more than, like, I do or somebody. You'll be like, I haven't won in, like, 5 games. And I'll be like, have I won in 5 games? See, I'm not, I don't know, because I don't have a tally sheet. So I'd have to go back and be like, okay, I didn't win that game. Oh, I did win that other game. Okay.
I think it's because I remember the losses, and usually it's a very me thing too. If you don't know me well, it's like I point it directly at myself.
I'm I messed up. Yeah.
Me and Josh can share that, of course.
I'm actually surprised you guys don't have a tally sheet, because that would be really interesting data to look at, because you play so much Commander off camera for real when you're play groups with your friends, I know. And so that would be really interesting. Like, you should do a thing where for 6 months you keep track of all games and see what that actually says. It would be hilarious to see.
Josh,
like,
you know,
it turns out,
you know,
Josh is winning 90% of the time.
I'm so sorry, but what it's going to be after 6 months is it's going to be 6 games, and it's all because we had to film it for game nights.
Yeah, you already know those percentages. It's on game nights.
Yeah. I wish we got to play more. We definitely want to get back into it, and I think that's something that is, I think, on the horizon for us, Josh.
I think so, too. All right.
The games on game nights are real?
I will say one last thing about statistics. I should probably, I'd like to see what happens if I change my mentality to be more of the 25% because I feel like you might actually win a larger percentage of games.
Can you? This is an interesting just philosophical question. Can you change your mentality? Is that even possible for a person
to
do?
For something about winning, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's very inbred into.
Can you suddenly one day flip a switch and be like, I'm the professor, and I now will be mad if I don't win 20% of my games?
Yeah.
I am angry at you, Josh Lee Kwai. You and I are enemies now.
I don't know if I could go from 50 to zero, but...
maybe like 25.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'll take a half. I'll take a 50% cut. All right. Next question for everyone. What are your absolute no-nos? And you can obviously say there are no no-nos, but, you know, some people say infect is where they draw the line. Some people say breaking a promise or taking a grudge to other games kind of thing, or taking it outside the game, being
salty. I like how you said breaking a promise, because when you said it first, my brain is like, there's no no-nos. I don't care about land destruction, infect, anything. But wait a minute, breaking a promise. I will be on you for a long time for breaking a promise.
I wrote that here for you, by
the way. That's a good one. So I'll start, I guess, because that really, like, I was like, I don't care about anything. You can do whatever you want. Broke a promise. Nope. Yeah. Immediate blood feud. If I can't trust you in the game, then that's the type of player that... If you broke a promise to me directly, I am going to train you never to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the way I'm going to do that is probably try and kill you first for, like, a while. That's the worst thing. You can destroy all my lands. You can even play Blood Moon.
I was going to ask if there are different levels of promises. Like, if someone was like a pinky swear as opposed to a blood on both hands handshake.
Yeah, I think there is a difference. Like, if you just kind of, if somebody literally says to you, I will not attack you next turn, I promise, if you do this thing for me, you do it, and then they're like, ha ha ha, attack you.
That is, the way you said that made me actually, like, my blood boil. I was like, how dare you?
I'm like, okay, you just did that, but you're going to reap the whirlwind for a long time now. I mean, I might never, ever let you down. First of all, I'll never make a deal with you probably again ever, but I might just try and kill you for every game that I can think of. I wouldn't even set a limit. It might just be, like, forever.
No limit.
It'd be at least like, sorry, the next 10 times we play, I don't care if I win, but you're not winning.
I actually used to have a really bad habit about that when I started Commander.
Oh,
no,
really?
But it's true.
Yeah,
it's
you were the sort of backstabby guy.
I thought it was funny, and I think that's why a lot of people do it, and that what I had to realize, and I realized it in one game in particular, was that there is a difference between funny for you and funny for everybody,
right.
And that this isn't like where you sit down again at a tournament and, well, we're just playing to win. But Commander, as you're getting over, people are clearing their time. You've got some beers and pizzas and sodas and stuff going on. And make other people miserable through behavior that like that is just that's definitely a no-no. And I had to learn that about myself. I had a game where I used to think that was the most funny thing in the world to do is to be like, trust me, I won't attack you. Ah, ha, 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 I did attack you and I win.
Please
Isn't
tell me you
hilarious?
Said it like that too.
I did. Well, you know, I'd be like I thought that was really funny. And it wasn't funny. And it's funny in idea. We're all laughing. But when you're actually playing, it's not. And then I had a game where somebody was like, you always lie about that. I'm not doing that. And I was like, no, serious. Like, absolutely.
Oh, no.
I am telling you the honest truth. If you attack them, leaving yourself open, I will not attack you. And I swear that to you. And then they did the attack. And then I said, great, attack. And they became, basically they stopped the game and were angry and was like this. And I didn't even understand. I thought they were being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're being really ridiculous. It's just a game.
No, you're being ridiculous.
Right. But I realized that like that isn't fun.
Right.
That is not even part of the game. And that's, and from that day, and I really do. And now it's funny because actually when we did the last game nights, there was a lot of, can we trust Prof? And I was like, yeah, you can actually, because I actually do have
a personal
rule.
You turned over a new leaf.
Like, I still like being devious. I still like being cunning. But if I say something, I will have said it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go by that. And I don't consider that valid fair ground anymore.
I will say I do appreciate a well-worded
promise
or alliance.
That, like,
I appreciate that. Like, and because it's my job to clarify it to the point where it's okay with me. But if you're like, listen, I won't attack you. I promise. And then you do something and you're like, okay, I cast this and destroy your thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't attack you. I just said I wouldn't attack you. I'm like, you got me. That's good.
Yeah.
But if you literally say, I won't destroy your thing,
right.
And then next turn, I destroy it, you did not get me, you just lied. In which case, in which case now Blood Feud, you're in trouble.
Right.
It's funny because I'm a big proponent of like not allowing things in the game to carry over outside the game.
But that will.
It's tough not to, right? Yeah. Like there's people in real life, and I can't help it.
It's a face-to-face
who playing thing. Like Werewolf or Mafia, or not Commander so much, but in other games, have lied to the point where, like, in real life, I might trust them less.
Yeah.
So be careful. That's all I'm saying.
That has happened with, what's that game called? The Resistance.
Yeah.
That game actually ruined real friendships. And that's the thing.
I don't know if ruined, but it just makes you...
No, it ruined one of my friendships. That friendship is over because we spent...
Wow.
It was like a three-hour game of Resistance with 9 people. And then someone just blatantly just sabotaged it at the end. And it was like, I could have seen a movie. Yeah. I could have made my way through a novel.
Right.
There is many things that could have happened instead of this. It was crazy.
But that's why it's really important to remember when you play Commander, it's not just you. You're not, they're not like the 3 to 5 other people sitting around you are not there to serve at your whimsy. Mm-hmm. They're other people and they are there and it's not just about you for that night, nor should it be. And you'll probably find you get a lot more enjoyment when you adopt that mentality, because I certainly did with Commander when I was like, yeah, when I made that little breakthrough,
right.
It was suddenly a lot more fun.
Right. Now, the question is, should we trust profs now from now on?
This is all a lie. I'm going to just
betray
it.
This is what we call the long con.
Yeah, right. And then it's tomorrow. Gosh. So, Josh, Jimmy, if you guys just don't attack me and kill each other.
You know you can trust me. Remember the podcast.
I win game nights. This means something.
Okay. Sorry. I hijacked with the Breaking Promises thing. Are there, for you guys, no-nos as far as, you know, in-game stuff? So, you know, destroying lands, infect. Some people really don't like counter spells. I don't know. There could be some other things in there. Is there anything that sort of raises your hackles, as it were?
The only thing that comes to mind for me, there may be two things, a soft two, but the main one is you need to know if you're going to put a win condition in your deck, how it works. And there have been a few times now playing with people, and they go, I win, and you're like, how? I don't understand. And then they were unable to explain it, in which case it's not on me to do the mental math to figure
Andy
out.
Andy Belford. Sorry, man. I got to call you out. I've seen you do that a couple times.
Yeah. There have been a couple others too. And there have been points where also like you catch them and you're like, wait, hold on. You don't actually win because what you're doing is very different. You know, saying the words I win is very bold proclamation. But when you're like, I win, and it's like, wait, but do you win through like life damage because, or commander damage because I can stop certain things, you know? So I think not understanding the most important parts of how your deck functions. Now, you may think you know, and it may be wrong. That's totally fine. But as long as you're able to make a, like a, okay, this is how it works, and walk everyone through it. Because I think that's sort of the testiest part of the game too, is at the very end, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get this. And then someone does the, I'm winning, I'm going to win. And if that person can't really like figure it out when it's happening, you're, I think, upsetting sometimes 3 people at the table.
Go ahead, Prof. I just want
to... I think that for me, it's not so much like infect land destruction. I'm fine with all of that, but it's something from Command Zone that Josh said in one episode that really resonated with me. And it's my only one, which is that if you're going to do something, it has a purpose. So if you're going to take an extra turn and it doesn't do anything and you're wasting everybody's time and you like take 3 extra turns, it's like, well, what did that accomplish you? Or you play a spell like Tangle Wire, it's like, why are you playing that?
Right.
Just to it, like, is there a purpose to it? If there's a purpose, and then that's fine. But if it's just going to slow down the game and it doesn't do anything to even attempt to advance your position, why is it in your deck? And that to me, really, when I heard that episode, it was like a bell rang in my head as well. And I was just like,
ding,
that's
dong.
It exactly.
JLK is here.
Because I've had so many games where I didn't understand why I was not having a good time. And it's just someone's like, Tangle Wire, why is that in your deck? It's funny. It's not funny. Is that part of a win? No. And now we're sitting there for 15, 20
right
minutes
now,
till the Tangle Wire goes away.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. So why'd you do that? Why you just took 7 turns and you didn't even drop another? Like, why?
Right. I think,
what did you do?
I think sometimes like Narset decks or Jaleva decks can be in that category. If it's like, haha, I take 6 extra turns.
Right.
But I don't really know what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
If it was, if you, you know, the most baller thing you could do is like, I'm taking 6 extra turns to draw 6 cards. All right, I'm on my 6th turn now. I'm just going to draw my 6th card. You still need to take the other turns.
Right.
That would be, I would be like,
mad props.
My man.
I was going to save you all time.
Right.
I thought of something, actually, another thing that's a no-no to me. I'm going to call it consistency with rules lawyering.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Listen, I'm fine. If you want to be like an absolute rules, like very stringent rules lawyer, that's okay. You just have to be consistent. So that means we're playing in a game where you're going to be scrutinized like crazy, and so is everybody else. Mm-hmm. But you can't be like, really scrutinize this person, you know, and then later on make a mistake of your own and be like, oh, I made a mistake. Let me do this thing.
Oh, God, yeah. Right.
Listen, it's fine. But you can also be like, no, you know what? You forgot the risk study. Draw the card. And then later when you're like, I forgot this thing. Yeah, totally fine. Because we're in a game now where it's fine to forget things.
It needs to be equal levels, though. It can't be like, I forgot to win the game.
But again, this is where communication with your group is important. Where it's just like, are we a group where it's like, if you forget a May ability, we're going to be like that. Just understand that. This is giving me flashbacks actually to like things like pre-release where I'll be playing against someone who then I try and cast it. He goes, oh, you can't target with that. Oh, right. It's a new card. Well, too bad. You cast it. It fizzles. And then they go, oh, I forgot to do it. And they have no problem allowing themselves the leniency they didn't allow you.
It may be
a
lapse of memory.
Oh, man.
Or they're waiting for you to do it to them kind of thing.
No,
they have
memory lapse isn't in the new set. No.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I just want it to be consistent. You know, a few episodes ago, or maybe last episode, we were talking about Rhystic Study and how we generally will allow people, like, two turns later even, like, oh, did you pay for that? No. Go ahead, draw your cards. Because I want to be the type of group that's pretty lax about that stuff. Because that's just more fun in general.
Like a small council occasionally, being like, hold on, well, let's see this happen. yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, you can do it. Every once in a while, we're like, listen, it's too complicated to figure out. You just can't. Most people are like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But most of the time, we're totally fine. And because it actually ends up making the games take a lot longer if you are really, really rules lawyery, because people are scared to do things and so they end up thinking longer.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a meta where people are mostly okay with you doing some takebacks if you have to, I mean, we don't try to. And actually, I've gone on record saying, like, I normally don't even ask for it just for myself. I'm just trying to make myself a better player.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm fine with allowing people. I'm not trying to keep everybody to that because I'm trying to become like a better limited player, and I think that kind of helps me in that realm. But I don't want Jimmy to have to be like, oh crap, I played a card against a hexproof creature that didn't know how to hexproof, and there's 50 million cards on the board because it's commander, and now I just lose that card.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. You didn't know it had a hexproof. You wouldn't have cast it if you did know.
Yeah, that's the only time I think you can take a spell being cast back.
There's other, I mean, that's a good example. It's a good example. Yeah, I think there are times when you're like, you forgot. He's got Glenelendra on the board. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, I definitely would have countered that.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, do it.
That's fine. That's fine. But then when everybody has to be held to the same level, that's all I'm saying.
Right.
Yep. I like that. I think the last thing that is a no-no to me is more, it's back onto the sort of the person thing, is you may have a blood feud, but if it's more just you're using your weapon as a, your deck is a weapon specifically against one player for no real reason, or sort of like kind of an arbitrary not real reason, and actually making that person like just counterspelling the crap out of someone, you know, just like, why? Unless you're doing
because they broke a promise.
Yeah, see, if there was a legitimate reason, like a blood feud, then I'd be like, dude, that's not my grudge.
It's your own fault. Why did you break the promise?
Why did you break such a promise? Yeah. Gosh, that was a really bad promise to break. But yeah, I don't like that idea, and that I never see that happen, but that's just something that came up to my mind, which is occasionally.
Right. Yeah, I would say if there's like a big imbalance in a game like that where I saw somebody maybe picking on somebody else for reasons that I didn't think were in the game, or like it was like a deeply I might jump in.
Have you ever seen that? That seems
I'm just saying
rather extreme.
In theory,
I think you see levels of it. And we're talking at like at the tens right here. But I've seen like ones and twos of like, you know, like when me and Craig play, for instance, we'll just It can go either way.
This is because of what you said to me in Vegas that night when you had the third vodka martini.
No, it was when
I'll never forgive you for that.
It was when Craig milled me twice in the limited game. That's why. That's what happens.
All right.
She was my mother.
Okay. Elliot's next one. The absolute.
Yeah, what I don't know what this means exactly. Oh, well, like
what are, yeah, what are your favorite things? Yeah, what are your favorite thing? What are, instead
what is
of absolute
your
knows?
Favorite thing to do in Commander?
Yeah, what's your like yes instead of yes, I want to hear that.
For
yes.
me personally to do or to happen?
Or to any,
anything.
Is it to happen at the table?
Yeah, happen at the table. Okay. Oh. What makes you on the inside go, sick, awesome, yes, you know, like celebrate and enjoy, like what parts of the game make you fall in love with it a little bit when that happens?
I think basically when everybody gets their mana just fine and can play their decks. When there's nobody sitting there with two mountains in their tricolor deck on turn 10 looking sad, when that's certainly not me, and when everybody got the mana and nobody got mana screwed and nobody got like their hand was all full of filler and just everybody's deck just worked smoothly.
Jeez, man, talk about magical Christmas
round.
That never happens. This is Magic the Gathering,
isn't it? It's like I'm sorry, Bill. Right, and Bill's sitting there with two mountains, and it's just like everyone's like, yeah, and I'm gonna actually have to destroy one of them because this.
whoa! What kind of play group is this?
This says every player sacrifices a creature and a land. Oh. You know, and it's like I gotta cast it because of Jimmy. Sorry, Bill, you gotta get rid of one of those mountains, and it's like that's not fun.
That's true. I have seen that pop up, which like, is like I gotta do this thing to stop him, and the one person in the corner's like. Yeah, I'll discard my hand.
Like this.
It's happened.
So just like when you sit down to that game and everyone's just swamp, island, plains, Esper's online, and just everyone's happy that they got the mana they need for their deck. And just from there on out, like, it doesn't matter who wins.
Everyone has a good up to turn five kind of thing. We're ready to go. We wanted to do what we've done so far. At some point, the wheels have to come off for every player.
Except for one. Only one may stand.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sometimes, though, that person rolls into the station on some raggedy wheels because
a lot of times those people win if you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, Bill ends up winning because everybody didn't do that. And then suddenly it's like, all right, so now I do my, 12 mana thing now that you've killed everybody.
How about you, Jimmy?
To a degree, what Prof said, I think a big yes moment for me is kind of when you get your, hey, I went off moment, or Craig gets his like, oh, I did it thing. You know, I want to see Craig's hands doing this. That makes me really happy when people are able to find, like you see in them rediscovering or reinvigorating the reason why they love playing the game. Yeah. And the same goes for me too, when I get to have those moments, and it's kind of like it can be a quiet moment of glee. Sometimes it's very big and vocal and everyone knows it. Or just something so crazy happens that everyone at the table goes, wow, that was cool. You know, those kind of moments, I think, are what group gaming is made of.
Yeah, I like it when at the end of the game, you're like, wow, everyone had like a big moment out of the game. It was swingy. Yeah. There was that one turn where you put out 50 creatures in the same turn. But then, you know, Jimmy grabbed them all and hit somebody else with it. And it looked like that person was going to die. But then they did this. Yeah. And it was like all these huge swingy moments. That to me is... You know, those are the perfect games where at the end of the game, you barely even remember who won, but you remember like you did this and then you did that. And then I thought this was going to happen, but this other thing happened. Like, you know, just those unexpected swings.
I love some swings. All right. This is a fun one. How are you different than when you first played?
Didn't we do that one?
Well, no. you did because you used my thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, then Jimmy, how are you different than when you first played?
Wiser,
a little grayer.
Yeah, definitely a little grayer, but that's not because of the playing. That's just because of life. Yeah. I think...
It's a hard life.
Yeah, it's a hard life. Yeah, it's a hard knock life. it's a hard deck life. I don't know. I think the main thing is I'm a lot more patient than I used to be. At the same time, I still, I find moments to get really fiery. I used to probably more consistently get into the salt range and, kind of bubble up and down. Now it's sort of like a volcano where every 1,000 years it'll go, blah, but then return to dormant phase for a while. So the spikes are a little less. That could just be an age and maturity thing. I also definitely care. I think when I first started playing, I wanted to win 100% of the games.
Yeah, I think it was the same way. Yeah. I think I actually learned that by not being like, I'm going to win every game and I'm going to crush everybody. Actually, up to my percentage. Because when you're that person, everybody knows you're that person.
Yeah.
And they are going to stop you from being that. But when you're a little more lax, you can kind of get in there and sneak in some wins where you wouldn't. And there's a saying in poker that you got to give action to get action. Like the person that plays really tight and only plays when they have the best cards. Well, every time they bet, you know they've got a really good hand, and everybody just folds. So they're always, and those players are always saying things like, whenever I have, a pair of aces, nobody wants to bet into me. Well, yeah, because you only play when you have a pair of aces. Everybody knows. And it's kind of the same way. If you're always trying to win really hard, everyone's going to come against you and, agree to team up against you. But when you're the guy that's like, sometimes you just splash around, have fun, play crazy cards, go get Mind's Dilation, they're like, I don't have to worry about it as much. And you can be kind of sneaky and win some games. So I think that's something I learned for sure.
Yeah. And Prof is a good boy now.
You learned to be more honest. I learned
that other people's enjoyment matters, and also that lying outright as a way to just win is not fun. It really isn't. Devious stuff, like I won't, attack you, but then destroy an artifact. I do still think is perfectly fair.
Oh, I love wording, it. I actually,
that's fine.
You'll get mad respect.
We played a game where it was like, I won't do this so long as this, and then it was just like, oh, looks like that's gone now. So that treaty has dissolved. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that stuff's great. Yeah, if you're sort of Autobahn Bismarcking, like all these weird, crazy alliances that nobody can understand, and then you're like, nope, you broke this one little part of the contract. I get you now.
Right. Josh Lee Kwai, what are your most controversial features? Oh. If someone were to describe you, what would they...
Nose.
Yeah, your nose.
Yeah.
It is rather aquiline.
I don't even know what that word means.
Yeah,
is
the
that
press like has been going.
Aquiline unicorn? Take... Taps for any color mana?
Mm. Ooh. Opaline.
Opaline. Opaline. Yeah. Close.
Close.
Maybe it's opaline.
Maybe.
My most controversial features... Jimmy can answer this better than me. What are my most...
Probably Blood Feud.
Yeah, it's probably Blood Feud. It's probably also that I will play Armageddon. I will play Asunder or something like that. I'm not so much an Infect player. Not that I wouldn't do it. I just don't.
Maybe it's also that you are probably the most fervent political player sometimes.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And you really do hold people to, like, you know, cause it's sort of, you know, you have to... You're playing to what everyone else is doing, and when it's playing with Josh, it's like the politics. You better get ready because they can get intense, you know. So you better be ready to state
your
case, kind of thing.
That's a really good point. That's probably my most controversial. Is I do put on a mask when I play, and so when I'm Josh, the commander player, I'm definitely like very intense with. Nope, you said this. Remember that you said it, and blah blah blah. Like, it's. Yeah, no, that's probably true. And I have the threat of Blood Feud or whatever to back it up. Because if you have no threat to back it up, you don't have any leverage over anybody. So. Yeah, that's kind of...
And you had to build that up over many games, too.
Yeah.
Because people didn't know originally.
Exactly.
Right?
At
if
first,
someone just came in there and blindly lied to you,
That's why I get destroyed at GPs, because I don't have the backup of the... Also, because everyone wants to kill the command zone guy.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
But also because I don't have any of the leverage from, like,
you know,
having played with me a bunch.
It's funny you say that, because I've found that I have sometimes slipped under the radar a lot more, whereas you do get just wiped off the face
we'll
of the planet sometimes.
Like at GP Vegas, I maybe got to play... Well, I'm just going to make up a number. Maybe like 20 games of Commander. Probably wasn't that many.
You were playing constant Commander.
Well, yeah, but the games are long, so I probably didn't actually play 20 games. But let's say it was 20 games. I probably got knocked out first in 15 of them.
We should offer like a bounty. Like if you play against Josh
and
you
don't knock him out,
you knock
first.
Him out first.
No.
That's
something.
Just the default.
No.
Don't
you
give
get him
out
of what
I'm thinking
always
maybe
do.
Like if any Command Zone listeners beat Josh first in the game, I will give him like a signed card or something.
You will give him a signed card.
Give him a signed card.
You heard it here first.
You have to prove it. Like you have to prove it.
Yeah, this is just mean.
Right.
Okay. What's your most controversial feature?
Probably just my saltiness. I mean, you saw it on display mostly between me and Josh Kim in an episode of Game Nights. I can't think of... I mean, I don't know. I'm way too... how about this? I look at my phone too much during games.
No, you're not even that bad at that.
Yeah, that's true. It depends. I don't know. I mean...
You'll combo out.
Yeah, I'll combo out. That could be controversial.
But you don't do it that much.
No. Maybe I'm just a very middle-of-the-road kind of guy, you know?
He's not controversial.
I'm just not controversial. Except in this statement. Yeah. It's hopefully a little controversial. Yeah, I would probably say my emotions, when they do get the best of me, doesn't end up in, I think, and maybe it's not controversial necessarily, but it's more like, oh, really? kind of moments, I think. If it's like, you're right, because I do it to myself where I'm like, oh, really? You're acting like this right now? So I can imagine if I'm feeling that way to any degree, that has to be the thing that other people may potentially feel, that or I overreact to myself.
How about you, Prof? What's your most controversial?
No one ever knows what I'm thinking. You never know what I'm going to do.
That's true. You are
like,
a loose
I will tell
cannon,
the truth now. Yeah, I will. I won't lie, but I, like, the last game nights, I absolutely attacked you because you were talking smack about me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it was just like, it's like, wait, why are you attacking me? It's like, well, you were talking smack.
He's like, when?
I know,
like,
when?
Before the...
Yeah, a couple months ago. You know, a couple months ago.
I think it must have been a couple months ago because even Josh at that...
That's
during
actually
that...
the most Prof thing ever. I didn't even think about it, but yeah.
It's just but, like, I'll do things where I will make dictates during a game where I will say, all right, Josh, do not attack me. And you'll be like, I attack Prof for one in the air. And I'm like, I told you not to attack me. Now,
that's
I will.
Talking smack.
But yeah, well, this is lesson
you
one.
You broke
don't
something.
Don't mess with me.
I
do have an unpredictability in that in that way where I'll take a chance too. Sometimes it's not about like being silly or goofy. Sometimes I just take a chance. And it's like, whoa, wait. And it's like, yeah, I do it. No, it didn't work. You know, and I will absolutely do wild card stuff like that because that's just my personality. I am very red and impulsive, and it's just like, I'll do it. Let's see if it... Roll the dice!
Yeah, you know, I would say that about you. I don't know if it's controversial, but when I'm playing with you, Prof, one of the things I always have to keep in mind is I can't be sure that Prof's going to do what I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as I'm going through the game, I'm usually like, ah, Jimmy's attacking. He's mad at this person because this card's out, and I'm pretty sure Jimmy's, you know, whatever I do here, it's not going to suddenly make Jimmy think of me as the target.
You can see
whatever.
Where I'm shining my flashlight kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. And I'll know, like, if I play this card, Jimmy might switch the flashlight over here. Whereas I always have to keep in mind when I'm playing with you, Prof, is like, I think this, but he could just decide just for fun to do this thing because we have no deal.
Right.
You know, nobody said anything. He just might be like, well, you know, Josh will never expect this, so I'm just going to do that. Yeah. Or whatever. That's a little calculation I have to make in my mind all the time.
I'm really nervous of Prof's like invisible tiny wall that gets put up that if you like flick it.
He warns you about it.
No. I'm fair. I give you warning, and you should just do as I say. I feel like the warning signs need to be a little better. There will be repercussions.
Like the whole, like, you know, asbestos is in this product that may give you cancer. It's kind of for Prof, it's just like, is there something in here? And if you do anything to it, who knows?
I can appreciate that, though. Like, if I say, don't destroy this thing, I'll have to retaliate. Even if the retaliation is not exactly in my best interest, I just want to, I got to, because if you ever make that promise of like, if you attack me, it's not going to be good for you, and you don't follow through, then they never will believe that first statement. So you have to follow through. You're kind of forcing me, you know what I mean?
You're forcing me to attack you. Yeah. You're forcing me to hurt you.
This is going to hurt me more than you, but it's also going to hurt you a lot.
I want to know this, Prof. Are you someone that breaks your own rules?
I don't have big... No, because I don't... My only rule really... is just, like I said, if you make a deal with someone, you abide by the deal.
Don't bold face lie.
And then the other one is, like I said, that if I am going to do something, I'm not just going to drop the tangle wire unless I have a purpose for it. And that's it. And I don't break those rules.
I can't wait for you to play that tangle wire just once.
I don't even have a tangle wire in my deck.
Josh,
I was going to ask you.
Do I break my own rules?
I don't even know what your rules are exactly.
I've had it up to here with your rules.
I break my own mental rules all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll be playing a game and be like, you know what? Craig's had a couple bad runs of it. I'm just going to let him go this time. And then as soon as, like, even the inkling of something happens, I'm like, I can't get hit
by that infect creature. It's there before I kill Craig. I never made a promise to myself, but I made a promise to myself.
So those are the rules I break. I do this a lot, though, when I'm playing a game, which is like, something's happening. I'll, like, give myself a little condition in my head. Be like, okay, this is happening. I think this will be interesting, so let's let this happen. And at a certain point, the weight of that will fall on itself, and I'll just break it.
I don't think I do... I probably do little things like you're talking about, though, where I have, like, a plan before the game. Like, oh, I'm going to play this deck, and I want to see if this thing can work. And so I'm just not going to worry about anything else. But then something happens in the middle of the game where I'm like, oh, that Prof, he did something. Never mind. I'm just going to try and kill him, you know? Or it's like you throw out that original, like, I'm testing my deck, and I want to know if this little combination of cards is going to actually be good or not. And then I get distracted in the middle and, you know, decide I'm going to try to win instead. That happens.
All right, so before we finish, I've made a list of archetypes for players, and I don't know if there's probably a lot more. For instance, the Johnny, Timmy, Spike are archetypes of players, and it would be interesting if we could pinpoint who we are amongst these.
Did you make these up, or are these from somewhere?
I found a couple of them. I made a few of them up, and then, of course, come up with your own archetype as well, viewers at home, listeners at home, as well as us here, if you guys can think of one that describes you.
Hold on. Are you a Jimmy? Are you a JLK? Or are you a professor?
Oh. I like these. I want to read them real quick, and then I want to try and think of what I think you guys are before you say what you think you are.
Okay.
Okay, so there's the mentor, which I assume is somebody who's trying to teach other players.
Yeah.
There's the rebel, who is rebellious. There's the judo master, which is take other people's aggression and turn it against them.
Yeah, just sort of don't front face things. Always let them, like, find ways to use energy.
Right. The resistor or contrarian... the opportunist, and the lone wolf. Okay.
It's probably like the recluse as well, somewhere in there. The person that just doesn't interact.
That's kind of the lone wolf, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I think the lone wolf is more, I'm not going to make any deals with anyone kind of person.
Uh-huh. I would say there's also the merciless.
Ah.
Somebody that's going to combo off as soon as possible, or, you know, they're just going to try and... They have no mercy. Well, that's what merciless means. Just FYI, everybody.
And the magician.
I'm not sure. Okay.
being podcasters and professors, I think all of us fall under the mentor category to a certain degree.
I mean, you would think prof is the mentor. He's a professor.
Yes, but that's...
but I don't think I would categorize...
That's my day job. Yeah. When I sit down with a couple of drinks and a pizza and a game of Commander, I'm off the clock, baby.
I'm pretty sure prof's the rebel.
Listen, yeah, question. Is it for the channel or am I at a Lady Planeswalkers event? If the answer is no, then I'm off the clock, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is just a game you're playing for fun of Commander. You're the rebel.
Where did you find this screw from? It was in my vest
pocket, and so I just came off an airplane. It's amazing that this went through security. Well, they didn't have a problem with it. I don't want it. Would you like it?
I mean, we've already done the construction on this set.
Would you like it?
For you listeners, I look over and on the Card Kingdom Playmat
is a piece of gift.
Oh, you know what? Can you sign this?
Gift of Tulare Community College.
Yeah, I think you're definitely...
I'm a bit of a rebel.
Yeah.
You would call yourself the rebel? We nailed it.
But you need to ask me, what am I rebelling against?
The man.
No. I need to ask me.
Oh, what are you rebelling against?
What do you got?
Oh, wow. That was
and
good.
Mic drop. Done.
Yeah, done.
Podcast over.
Podcast did actually just end.
Just kidding. Okay, let's guess what Jimmy is then.
Jimmy is the opportunist.
I would put myself in the opportunist.
I think
category.
That's a good one, yeah. Opportunist. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I was going to... Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. What am I? I'm...
Josh? This one's tough. Maybe there isn't one here that fits you as well.
He's Josh Lee Kwai.
The JLK.
You're
the original. Five color.
You're the original.
I think you're a mix between judo and mentor. But more on the judo side.
Which
because the mentoring doesn't really
off,
happen
in
games.
That's the merciless. But I don't combo off.
Yeah, he combos off on his own
earlier
terms.
Earlier in the podcast that as long as you combo off,
sorry,
it doesn't work.
Defining combo off as like infinite combo or something like that.
Oh, no, I just meant
not,
you go
yeah.
off. Go
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I definitely like will go off. But usually it's not like infinite I win at that moment.
Right, you're like the judo master that can go Super Saiyan at the end.
I would say judo master's probably the closest.
You may not like use your Super Saiyan powers to win because someone else went Saiyan 5 in the meantime, you know.
And it's like I said, I'm always worried about how do I blunt what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. Like I can't build a deck where I just...
You're very reactive.
Yeah, I have to force myself to build a deck that's like I'm not going to care as much about being able to... Like if I ever look at my deck list and I'm like, what do I do if a good enchantment comes out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to force myself to build a deck that doesn't care about that as much.
Are there any archetypes you think that we may have missed?
There needs to be a political one because that might be me.
The politician.
Too.
The politician.
Yeah, the politician. Yeah. That would
Should
probably
be
more
there.
Me. Then.
Yeah, I think I kind of wanted that in Judo Master, but Judo is a much more almost like an office type.
I think the engineer, someone who they've made.
Have
you ever played someone
that's
like,
that's
I don't
like your
care.
Deck building self.
I just I just want my World Fire and then Goblin Arsonist combo. Like I just want this to happen.
The engineer,
and
I like that.
I don't even care if I win, but
the
I
architect.
Need my thing.
The architect,
to,
yeah,
the
you're,
architect,
you're sitting
the
there
yeah.
building your mouse trap.
Not the crappy architect from The Matrix, like a cool one.
Never saw The Matrix.
You mean the KFC guy, the architect?
He is the worst scene in the history of Matrix movies. Okay. Well, we got to wrap up here because we have to go pick up another person.
The important guest.
The other guest for what may or may not be game night.
Thank you for filling in for the important guest.
I cannot wait to find out who he or she may be and what we're doing.
Well, we've spoiled that part.
All right. Now it's time for To the Listeners. What type of player are you? Who are you in the political game? What archetype do you think you are is a really good answer. But you can answer any of the questions that we've talked about here. I think it's really good to be self-reflexive about yourself, what type of player you are.
And whether or not you
and
agree
how other players
or disagree.
See you.
Yeah. We'd love to know.
Are you the type of player, evidently, I'm exactly seen as what I am.
Mm-hmm.
You're very one-dimensional.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right? I'm not surprising, which is, it's a little disappointing.
No depth to
more
you
mics
at all.
Dropping
I wish
over
it was,
here.
That is, that's a little disappointing to me. I wish I was a little bit more like, you thought I was something, but really I'm something else. But no, you guys nailed me 100%. So I'm a little disappointed by that. So are you the type of person that's cooler than me and people think you're something, but you're really something else?
Yeah, that's why you always wear sunglasses at the table, huh?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Future's so bright.
You're
future's
cool,
so bright.
You're cool. You're a cool guy.
All right, this show
you
is
know what else is cool?
Oh, gosh.
I got it.
I was just trying to just get right to it. All right, this show is brought to you by the other cool thing, cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's our affiliate link. Card Kingdom also supports the professor and our whole community of creators. Obviously, they're there for a reason. So make sure you just go visit the website, cardkingdom.com/commandzone, and check it out. They're shipping unbeatable. Love those guys.
Somebody else we love is Ultra Pro.
I thought you were saying the Masters of Modern.
I was Ultra Pro, making the Eclipse sleeves, like we said, all the Ixalan stuff. We're going to be unveiling in the new Game Nights with you a bunch of their new playmats for an as-yet-unreleased set that is pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. We have some of the HasCon playmats, actually, that were really hard to get a hold of that we may be giving away soon. Cool. Yeah, so Ultra Pro, really killing it lately. Make sure you check out their products. Again, that will support us. Are we gonna? We're gonna skip the end step today because we have to go pick up this guest. So
how about
I'm sorry,
this,
everybody.
Professor? Oh. Where can we find you on the world?
Oh, there
webs?
You go.
Oh, well, if you'd like to find me, I'm on YouTube. Well, I actually had someone met me and said, "Oh my God, you were the guy that was on Game Nights," and he had no idea I had a YouTube channel.
Wow!
And he was just so excited. And he
You're
was like,
welcome.
What's Jimmy like?
Just kidding.
I swear to God, he was just this little kid. He was just like, "What's Jimmy like?"
No,
there had to be one of those in the world.
Yeah. But if you would like to see my That's work, you kind. Can go over to YouTube and type in Tellarian Community College. I've got deck reviews, deck techs, tutor lessons.
The Tellarian Tutor series
yes,
is really
the one
good.
That's coming out. Yeah. When will this be up, this video?
This will be up in like 5 or 6 days. So.
Okay, so the one that came out just a few days ago on Tuesday on how to be a better aggro player is my best one yet.
Cool.
I'm so proud. I work in collaboration with Emma Handy and Michelle Rapp to make this a special series. Check that one out if nothing else.
Yeah.
Tellarian Community College on YouTube.
The Tellarian Tutors, I really want to give a big endorsement for that series.
Working on that for years.
Yeah, and they're really great. I mean, I've learned something from every episode so far, so definitely check out that series. Definitely also check out our sister podcast, The Masters of Modern. Alice Kessler and Ben Bateman, they talk about Modern.
I love Modern. It's my favorite format.
Yeah, you've been on the show quite a few times, The Masters of Modern.
Well, there was one time one of them was sick.
Yeah, you were actually like a guest
a co-host.
One of them I was a co-host because I forget who it was. I think Ben was sick.
You graduated. Nice.
Yeah, right.
So if you want to learn about Modern or just competitive magic in general, you can go to collected.company. You can find them right next to us. You can also follow them on Twitter at the MMcast.
All right. Our editor for the show is Terry Robertson. Terry, now in LA. Welcome to the city. So glad to have you here and nearby. It's awesome. And special thanks, of course, to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card animations. You can find all of that at our YouTube website, including the animation behind us. Look at that. Sweet. Excellent play.
You guys should do a Ravnica one. That would be so cool if like it was Ravnica in the
you
background.
Didn't see the 10 minutes of us beforehand trying to figure
more
out
like 40.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, technical
Please
difficulties.
Stand by.
Yeah, so make sure you go to youtube.com/the Command Zone podcast if you would like to watch the video versions and Professor's beautiful smiling face as well as what he may be guesting on in the near future.
Oh yeah, we got to go pick up, speaking of guests, that other guest.
Yeah. Time to go do it.
That other big time guest that flew from across the country.
Prof, thank you so much for being on the show. It was an honor, as always, and just an absolute joy.
Thanks for having me. Yours was the very first podcast I ever guested on, and it's really great to be here today in person. It's a special treat
and
for
me.
This is the first time you've been on our podcast.
This
in
is the first
same
time I've
with
been
us.
In the same room for the podcast.
Cool.
But yours was the very first podcast. The person we're going to pick up convinced me you need to do it.
I wish we had a Ravnica one.
No, this is...
How did that just happen just
this
now?
This is exactly
I
what
I have
happened.
Powers.
Oh, it must have been in the playlist. So this is what we were dealing with for an hour before
we just
we
plane
today.
Shifted, and so not all planes are on the same level.
And
so
they're also not all right side up.
Right, that's
yeah,
what I mean.
It means we hit the loop.
We're ruining the movie magic. Don't look at that. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.
Killing my immersion. Excuse me, Ixalan and Ravnica would not coexist. They're in completely different realities.
This is
Don't
true.
Look at that. Don't look at that.
Goodbye.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com. Or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.